Isaiah chapter 12. I plan to preach the message that I've titled Song of Thanksgiving, God is My Salvation. God is My Salvation. Our main lesson that we're carrying with us this morning is this: experiencing God's great salvation should create a song of thanksgiving in our hearts that erupts in corporate worship and explodes in evangelism. Do you have a spirit of thanksgiving this morning? Amen. Do we have a spirit of thanksgiving this morning? For some of us, thankfulness can sometimes be a lost discipline because it gets covered up in the chaos and the hecticness of life. But we all need to practice the discipline of thanksgiving. Did you know you get 23,000, approximately 23,000 of these every day? Everyone in here gets approximately 23,000 of these every day. Breaths. Now you think about this. When is the last time you stopped and thank the Lord for just one of them? You see what I'm talking about? A heart of thanksgiving can oftentimes get interrupted by the chaos and the busyness of life. Have you ever experienced that? And that's why I say that thanksgiving is oftentimes a discipline that we don't practice, but it's a discipline that we should practice each and every day. Amen? Amen. We should. And one of the reasons why we should have a heart of thanksgiving, a song of thanksgiving, is because God has rescued us. Has He not? God has rescued us. He has taken our lives into His own hands, and He sustains us each and every day. And that thankfulness, that thankful heart, should erupt in corporate worship when we come together, and it should move us to do evangelism, simply for the fact that God is our salvation. So my word for you this morning is simply this: don't let anything diminish your heart of thankfulness to God. Don't let anything diminish that. Don't let anything detour you from proclaiming your song of thanksgiving to the Lord. Now, don't get me wrong. I know that when life comes at us sometimes, it is difficult to have a song of thanksgiving. But if you keep this thought in mind, the one thing that is unchanging in an ever-changing world, the one thing that we can count on when we can't count on anyone else, the one thing that we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt each and every moment of each and every day is this: God is my salvation, and nothing can separate me from the love of God. And that is the foundation that each one of us have, no matter what's going on, no matter where we're at. That is the foundation that we build our song of thanksgiving upon. Amen? Amen. This morning, we see what Isaiah has done, in that he has given us a good mixture of good theology with song. And so the first thing that I want to point out to you from the text this morning, and point number one, is this: the individual child of God should have a song of thanksgiving. Look at verses 1 through 2 with me in your text, page 522 in the Pew Bible. You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and will not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. Well, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to you and we are pilgrims on a journey home. This earth is not it. And I'm so thankful that we're not on this journey alone, but the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, our triune God, is with us, sustaining us, keeping us, helping us, encouraging us, saving us. And Lord, what we see in the Scriptures is that as a result of that, there should be a song of thanksgiving within our hearts. And so, Father, today we pray that if the song of thanksgiving has dwindled, if the fire of that flame has gone out, that today you will renew that flame, that you will restore that song. And Lord, we'll reflect that in our lives to a world that needs to know that there is hope. And there is hope in Jesus Christ and him alone. So Father, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a taste for the treasure of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I have in my notes to ask you this question. Do you have a song of thanksgiving? Do you have a song of thanksgiving? You know, God made us in such a way that music stirs the passions and the emotions of the heart. And you know that Jesus said that those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. The truth is God's word. The spirit, not capital S, but the spirit within us, our human spirit, our soul, our who we are, the thing that makes us who we are, that spirit. God has made it in such a way that music can pluck the strings of our hearts and move us to places that we otherwise wouldn't go. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? How many of you guys have got a favorite hymn that when things are not going good that you can just turn to and sing it, whether it's out loud, you sing it in your heart and your head, and it takes you to a whole nother level. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Some of you do, some of you I'm not sure yet. But music has been put to theology. And it's there to put theology within our hearts that will be echoed back to God in song, in praise, in thankfulness, in thanksgiving. You see, I believe above all people in the world that the Christian people of this world should have a song of thanksgiving. And songs of thanksgiving aren't based upon circumstances. Because according to what our circumstances are, we'll snuff that song out. But you see, the song of thanksgiving that we are to have all the time is not based upon the circumstances with which we find ourselves in, but it's based upon the God with which we find ourselves in those circumstances. And that God will not let us down. He is our well of salvation. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is the one who says, "Do not be afraid." He is the one who gives us strength. He is the one who gives us strength to have a song of thanksgiving, even in the worst of times. So let me ask, do you have a song of thanksgiving? Do you have one? Do you have more than one? Do you sing a different one at different times? Frida does, I do too. We should have a song of thanksgiving. Isaiah says, "You will say in that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord." And to give thanks to the Lord is just an expression of praise. It's an expression of thankfulness of all that He has done for us in the past, of all that He's doing for us in the present, and all that He will do for us in the future. It is to give thanks. It is to express praise to the Father that He is glorified. And each and every individual child of God should have a song, if not more than one, of thanksgiving. Now, again, why do you say that, Pastor David? Well, that's what Isaiah tells us here in verses 1 through 2. Now, without trying to get any more technical than I have to do, these two verses are written to you, to God's children, as individuals. You see, the "you" here is a second person singular pronoun. It's not "you all" or "y'all." It is "you." It is the person you see in the mirror looking back at you. It is that singular person that God has made you to be. Isaiah is writing to you individually. You should have a song of thanksgiving. The Holy Spirit-inspired Word of God that was given to Isaiah informs us that God's children individually should have a song of thanksgiving to our God for all that He has done, for His grace, for His mercy, for His salvation, that we're no longer condemned by Him. In Isaiah chapter 12, it breaks up the first section before the second section of Isaiah. And so, in recapitulating all that Isaiah has written up through chapter 12, he ends it, how fittingly, with a song of thanksgiving to God. A song of thanksgiving to God. So that at the end of each day, when we wrap the day up, there should be an attitude of praise, an attitude of thankfulness. Now again, it's not based upon circumstances. What's it based upon? God. And what God has done for you. And what has He done for you? He has saved you. He has saved you from the enemy of sin, from Satan, and from self. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." What is the will of God? For each one of us individually to give thanks in all circumstances. And so, the question before us today is, do we give thanks to God each and every day? And we should. And Isaiah gives us two reasons why we should here in verses 1 through 2. If you're taking notes, the first reason Isaiah says for you as an individual each and every day to have a song of thanksgiving in your heart is because God has turned His wrath from you. Now, I know that may surprise you a little bit, because I know when you were born, you thought God just was, you were the apple of God's eye. You were just loved by God. Well, no, as a matter of fact, when we were born of our parents, we were born under the just condemnation of God. We were born at war with God. We were born at enmity with God. Why? Because what? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We weren't born friends with God. We were born at war with God. Now, we were born as His enemy. But thanks be to God, we can give Him thanks because we are no longer His enemy. His wrath has been turned away from us. The Bible says, "I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for though you were angry with me, your anger turned away that you might comfort me." So the God who was angry with us is now the God who comforts us and gives us ease in the midst of a chaotic world. You see, every single one of God's individual children should openly declare with their mouths, with their hearts, a song of thanksgiving, for God has turned His wrath from them. Notice again, Isaiah says, you will say in that day. Now, of course, when Isaiah wrote this, he was talking about in a future day, you will say this. And so, why not let that future day be today? In that day. What day? How about today? In that day. How about tomorrow? How about each and every day? Let it be the day that Isaiah is prophesying about. That the Lord's anger has turned from us. He is no longer angry with us, and He has comforted us. He has comforted us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1, the Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, that's the language of God turning His anger and His wrath from us. We're no longer condemned. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. God wins. We do too. Give Him a song of thanksgiving. You see, I believe on that day that we stand before God in eternity in judgment, that we'll know just how robustly we should have praised Him in this life for turning His wrath from us and placing us under His grace and mercy. Because on that day, not everyone will receive the comfort of God. Those who are not under the blood of Jesus Christ will be cast into an everlasting lake of fire. And you better believe on that day, I'm going to be thankful that that's not going to be me. How about you? How about keeping that thought in mind? You know, sometimes we just get so caught up in the here and now that's not going to last, and it blinds us to the then and when all things will last forever, the eternity that we will spend with God, all because of God's grace and mercy. Amen. Are you starting to have a little note in your heart of thanksgiving? Well, the second reason that Isaiah tells us that we should have a song of thanksgiving here in verses 1 through 2 as individual children of God, it's not just that God has turned His wrath from us, but as a consequence of God turning His wrath from us, He saved us. God is my salvation, he writes. Look with me in verse 2. Behold, God is my salvation. Let's stop right there for just a moment. Now, who is the you in this text? Point your finger. It's me. It's me, the individual me. Now, I want you to say these words with me in just a moment. Repeat these words. God is my salvation. Put emphasis on my. God is my salvation. Woo! Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you can say that about yourself? Praise the Lord. You see, that right there is a personal note written thousands of years ago just for you today. That is what we call relational language. You hear the word relationship when we speak of relational language. So what God is saying is, you are personally under His salvation. You can say that God is my salvation. You can say that personally. God has saved you. And therefore, since He saved you, look what else Isaiah says here. Look at the rest of verse 2. I will trust. God is my salvation, therefore I can trust God. He goes on to say, now, what replaces fear in God's people? Faith. What's another word for trust? Faith. Faith. Since we can trust the Lord, Isaiah writes, you do not need to be afraid. He goes on to write this, "For the Lord God is my strength." Who gives you the strength to get to the day that you don't think you can get through? The invisible God. Who gives you the strength to get through those moments when your faith is just failing? God. You see, God is the power supply that gives His people the strength to get through, to trust Him. And he goes on to say, not only is God His strength, but God is my what? My song. My song. And He has become my salvation. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. With Jesus, my Savior, I'm a child of the King. Why do we forget that? I'm a child of the King of Kings. I'm an heir to the throne of Jesus Christ. I am a son of the living God. And nothing can change that. Why do we let anything in this earth rob us of a song of thanksgiving? Amen. Amen. On November 4th, 2010, Eunice Sanhorn became the world's oldest living person. She celebrated, guess what, her 114th birthday. Now, I don't know how dirt old is, but that's getting close to it. She celebrated at First Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Texas, where she was a member. Eunice says that she not only loves everything about life at 114, but at 114 years old, she has zero complaints. And I would think after 114 years, she could complain about a lot of things, don't you? Isn't that an amazing testimony? At 114 years old, she has zero complaints. And I just imagine if you ask her why, she would say, "I'm a child of the King. I'm a child of the King. Thank the Lord, I'm a child of the King." You know, at 114, she's only got just better things to look forward to. Amen? But I share that story with you for this reason, and it's this. Because each and every day, nothing changes the fact that you are a child of the King. Nothing. And I said earlier, that's the foundation for the song of thanksgiving. You know, the only thing that changes each and every day is what we choose to do. We can choose to complain, and Lord knows I complain. Or we can choose to sing a song of thanksgiving to our Lord. Amen. We have a choice every day. Regardless of what we do, we're still a child of the King. And that's the good thing. Amen? Well, so, do you as an individual believer have a song of thanksgiving in your heart? Point number two is this. The children of God should have a song of thanksgiving. Look at verse 3. With joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. Now, you may be wondering at this point, Pastor David, he's losing it. That's the same point as he just preached in point number 1. And you may be wondering, Pastor David must have had too much barbecue yesterday. It's clogging his arteries, going to his brain. Well, I didn't have too much barbecue yesterday. I did enjoy my barbecue yesterday. But there is a slight difference here, but it's a significant difference here. And the only way we could know that is by studying the text in a little bit more in depth. Now, remember what I said about the second person personal pronoun in verses 1 through 2. What did I say? It's to who? The individual child of God. Well, guess what? Now, Isaiah has switched from the second person personal pronoun, singular, to the second person personal pronoun, plural. So what is he saying? Y'all. That's what he's saying. He's writing y'all. So with joy, y'all, I don't have to interpret that, do I? Y'all will draw water from the wells of salvation. Do you see the difference? Now what Isaiah is doing, he's not just writing to the individual child of God that every day, wherever they're at, should have a song of thanksgiving. But what he's writing now is that y'all, when you come together in the assembly of the saints, when you come to worship the one true God, y'all should have a song of thanksgiving. That's what he's writing here. He says, y'all, with joy, y'all will draw near or draw water from the wells of salvation. Now here again, he's using poetic language. Wells of salvation is metaphorical for guess who? God. God. And so here what Isaiah is writing is, when y'all come together to worship the Lord, y'all will draw water from God. Now, this is a picture in the Middle East that Isaiah is playing off of. And if you get down to it, what Isaiah is playing off of is the exodus of God's people into the wilderness. Into the wilderness where there was a lack of, guess what? Drinking water. And so now that God has redeemed them, he has saved them from their oppressors through the wilderness, what he's used to say metaphorically is, listen, God is like water in a dry and arid land. And so when you think about God and how he has redeemed you individually, how he has saved you in a dry and barren land, when you come together as worshipers, have that picture in your mind of how God has saved you, and then when you come together, you praise him with a song of thanksgiving with joy. With joy. Let me ask you a question. Could that word describe you when you came in here? Joy? Remember what I just said. You have a choice to either be joyful or otherwise. Dr. Guzik writes, there should be no somber faces at the Lord's well of salvation. We draw water with joy. Now, I know some of us yet from barbecue yesterday we may be too tired to have a real joyful joy, but we got a little bit of joy, don't we? Do you remember what Jesus said about himself in the New Testament? You remember? Jesus said to her, the woman at the well, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Do you think maybe Jesus had Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3 in mind? Jesus is the living water. So do we have a heart of joy when we come into this place, knowing that God is our salvation? The psalmist writes, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Amen. After World War II, there were two families who were waiting in line after church service to greet their pastor at the back of the church. The church was preparing to build a new building at that time. And the first family in line said to the pastor, Pastor, as you know, our son was killed in the war. We would like to give $200 as a memorial gift. It was a lot of money then. The second family said, Pastor, we were going to give $200, But our son came home, we'll give $500. A sinner who's been saved by God's grace, someone writes, knows there is no gift of thanksgiving too extravagant to give to God. Point number three. We'll quickly go through this one. I haven't looked at the clock, but I'm sure it's late. Oh, don't look. Point number three. The children of God's song of worshipful evangelism. So, all right, what does Isaiah wrote? He's wrote to the individual believer, right? As individuals, each and every day, song of thanksgiving, for God is our salvation. He's written to the assembly of God's children. When you come together to worship the Lord, when you come together as the assembly of the saints, you should come with joy, drawing from the well of your salvation. A song of thanksgiving should permeate our hearts and our minds as we come here together. Now he tells us what we should do. That's next. So look at verses 4 through 6 with me. And you shall say on that day, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Look, make known his deeds among the nations. What follows joyful worship together is the command for joyful evangelism when we leave. Make known his deeds among the peoples. Proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing praises to the Lord, for he has done gloriously. Let this be made known in all the earth. Shout and sing for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, that is, children of God. For great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. So once again, Isaiah is writing to the children of God assembled. He's writing to us as we've come together. And the overall message is just very simple. The God we worship together is the God we proclaim individually in the world. That's the message. Joyful worship leads to joyful evangelism. Now, Isaiah writes in these verses 4 through 5, he writes this, make known his deeds. What does that sound like? That sounds like somebody's doing what? Speaking the good news. Pastor, did they have a gospel in the Old Testament? Well, yeah, they did. What is the gospel? Good news. What is the good news of the Old Testament? The good news of the Old Testament is that God saves. The good news of the Old Testament points us to the New Testament that Jesus' blood covers sin. And all the saints of the Old Testament are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every single one of them. He says, make known his deeds. What deeds? How about start at Genesis 1? Because the God of Genesis 1 is the God of John 1. You want to make known something about God? Make known he's the creator of all there is. You know, one of the most important things that God wanted us to know is that he's the creator of all things. Why do you say that, Pastor David? Because that's what he put in the first page. Make known his deeds. Make known his deeds. Verse 4. That was verse 4. Verse 5 says, proclaim that his name is exalted. What is the end goal of evangelism? I know what you're thinking. People get saved. No, it's not. It's not. Because when we make evangelism the goal of people getting saved, then we move away from the glory of God. The goal of evangelism is that sinners get saved so that God is exalted. That's the end goal of evangelism. is that God is exalted. Well, how is he exalted? When God's people proclaim and other people receive, and then they proclaim and other people receive, so that more and more people exalt God's name. That's the end goal of evangelism, is that God is exalted. So that's verse 4. And then in verse 5 he says, let this be made known in all the earth. You know, the craziest thing about God's people today is just simply this. We think that evangelism started in the New Testament. We think that evangelism is a New Testament concept. We do, right? It's not. God, since Father Abraham, has drawn a people for himself so that those people could proclaim the deeds of their Creator. So that those people could proclaim that there is but one true God, and it is the God of Israel. God has always had a heart for the nations, and his heart has always went to the nations through his people proclaiming the good news that God saves. So the Old Testament is as full of evangelism as the New Testament is. Right here's a prime example of what I'm talking about. So as we meet together to thank the Lord, to call upon his name, to exalt him, to sing praises to him, to give tithes and offerings to him, as we shout and sing for joy in this place, once we leave, we go outside of these walls and then proclaim God to the world. We tell of his deeds, we proclaim his name that is exalted, and we let the earth know who he is. Because salvation only comes through the Holy One of Israel. So we must commit to joyfully making known the God that we worship here every Sunday. Make him known outside the world. Jesus said in the Great Commission, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Why do you think Jesus had such an evangelistic heart? Because that's the heart of the Father. And the heart of the Father since creation was to draw people from every tribe, tongue, and nation to himself. Through the proclamation of the good news by his people that are marked with a song of thanksgiving, the most joyful people in the whole world. Amen. When Dr. Broadus was a boy in a little town, he became a believer. He had been attending some meetings, I guess they were camp meetings that week, and he became a believer. And afterwards, he went to one of his good friends named Sandy Jones, a little red-haired, awkward chap, he says. And he said, Broadus said these words to his friend, Sandy Jones, I wish you would be a Christian, won't you? Sandy said, well, I don't know, perhaps I will. Sure enough, after a little while, one night in the little church, Sandy Jones also accepted Jesus Christ. Straightway, he went to see his friend Broadus, and he said these words, I thank you, John. It was John Broadus. I thank you, John. I thank you, John. Well, Dr. Broadus, if you know your Baptist history, became somewhat of a famous Southern Baptist, and he went on and left that little town. He became a great scholar, a great exegete. I believe he was the president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary when it first started, I think, anyway. But inevitably, every summer, he would go back home to his little hometown, hardly missed a season, and he would go see his friend, Sandy Jones, and every time Sandy Jones would see his good friend, John Broadus, he would stick his hand out and say, howdy, John. Thank you, John. Thank you, John. I never forget John. When Dr. Broadus came to his deathbed, with his family around him, he said these words, quote, "I rather think the sound sweetest to my ears in heaven, next to the welcome of Christ, him who, having not seen, I have loved and tried to serve, will be the welcome of Sandy Jones, as he will thrust out his great hand and say, 'Howdy, John. Thank you, John.'" Now, I tell you that story for this reason. What better reason to give God a song of thanksgiving than to know the thankfulness of one whom God saved through your evangelistic proclamation? Well, we've learned three things this morning. The individual child of God should have a song of thanksgiving for two reasons. God has turned his wrath from us, and secondly, he's our salvation. That is the individual. Secondly, we learn that the children of God, as we come together, should also have a song of thanksgiving, for with joy we draw water from the well of our salvation. And then thirdly, we see that the children of God, as a result of being saved, should then have a fervor for worshipful evangelism with a heart of thankfulness. You see, experiencing God's great salvation should create a song of thanksgiving in our hearts that erupts here in corporate worship and explodes in evangelism when we leave this place. Now, I got one last story for you, so you better listen close the first time, because I'm only going to tell you once. And then I'm going to close. An anesthesiologist often plays an important role when a woman is going through labor. One woman was so grateful for her anesthesiologist's help that she told him, "I'm so happy about how well everything went that I'm going to name my baby after you. By the way, what's your name?" "Thorndike," came the reply. She paused for a moment and then said, "Do you have a middle name?" Don't let anything diminish a song of thanksgiving in your heart. Don't let anything detour you and me from proclaiming our thankfulness to God for His salvation. Amen? Experiencing God's great salvation should put a song in our heart that erupts in corporate worship that leads to explosive evangelism. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we do thank you so much for your word that teaches us what you expect from us, how we should live, the kind of hearts we should have. And Lord, I'll be the first to admit that it is not always easy in this life, in this world, to have a heart of thankfulness. But Lord, I pray that Isaiah chapter 12, written thousands of years ago under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, which is your word, true truth, without any mixture of error, would firmly lodge itself in our minds, that regardless of circumstances, the children of God should have a song of thanksgiving, because God is our salvation. Lord, I pray that if there is someone here this morning that knows not Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, that they would accept His invitation to come to Him, all who are weary and heavy laden, and find rest in Him. I pray, Lord, Father God, for all of children of God that are here today, that you, Lord Father, would do a work in us, that we would leave this place with a little extra step in our get-along, and that we would tell somebody why. In Jesus' name, amen.